Well, there are three rules for preaching. You tell them what you're about to tell them. And then you tell them. That's the second rule. And then the third rule is you tell them what you already told them. That's how we preach. And what I want you to see today is that Jesus Christ is all over the Bible. That the entire Bible points to Jesus. Everybody in the Old Testament was saved by faith in the Messiah who was to come. You got to catch this. And everybody in the New Testament is saved by faith in the Messiah who came. Everybody before Jesus was looking forward to the Savior. And everybody afterwards looked back at the Savior who came. Nobody in all of history was saved by sacrificing animals, ever. Nobody in all of history was saved by obeying the Ten Commandments, ever, or being a good person. From start to finish, people are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other option. There is no plan B. There is no other way but through Jesus alone. There is no bailout program for eternity. You have to believe that. Do you believe that? It's a real question. There is no debt reduction plan for eternity. There is no settlement payoff. It's final and it's forever. And there is no second chance after you die. It is now what you do with Jesus. It's either you know him or you didn't. It is that simple. It is that clear. This is what we teach at VBS. This is why a child can put their faith in Jesus Christ. It's not complex. Adam and Eve, the first two people on the planet, had the gospel. They had the message of Jesus. Genesis chapter 3. You're only three chapters into the entire Bible. God said, one day the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the snake. That's the gospel. First two people. And what I need you to see today is that Jesus is all over your Bible. Even all over Isaiah. Jesus stands up in his own ministry, reads Isaiah in Luke chapter 4, and he says, today this scripture is being fulfilled. Women would be fainting. You don't say things like that unless it's true. Jesus spoke in Mark 7, and he said, Isaiah spoke exactly of you guys when he said you follow your tradition rather than the teachings of God. So this is 700 years before Jesus comes, Isaiah 49. He's going to tell us all about his servant. His servant is Jesus. Isaiah 49, we're going to read 5 through 7. And now the Lord speaks. He's talking about Jesus, the one who formed me in my mother's womb to be his servant, who commissioned me to bring Israel back to him. The Lord has honored me and has given me strength. He says, you will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. The Lord, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel says, listen to this, to the one who is despised and rejected by the nations. This is the Lord's servant. To the one who is the servant of rulers. Okay? Kings will stand at attention when you pass by. Princes will also bow low to the ground because of the Lord, the faithful one, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Verse 5 says that this servant is going to be commissioned to bring Israel back to God. Verse 6 says this servant is going to bring salvation, not just to Israel, but to the whole world, to the ends of the earth. And then verse 7 throws a twist in there. He's despised. He's rejected. He's a servant. Yet, kings and princes bow down to him. How? How can that be? We don't have a category in our brains to fit this character into our thinking. someone whose job is to save the world. That's greater than Superman. Superman can't forgive a single sin. My friend is really into Marvel movies, and I'm like, this is so boring. Give me something real. Okay. I'm fascinated with Jesus. His job is to bring salvation to the whole world, but he's a servant. Like, just blowing my mind up. He will be rejected and despised, yet he will rule over kings. I don't understand. Isaiah's listeners would have had the same struggles that you have, same struggles today, scratching their heads. How can this be? The same wrestlings with their faith, hearing God speak and saying, well, that sounds really good, but sometimes it looks doubtful from my perspective. Isaiah 49 puts it this way. Sing for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song. I like that language. It's not, all right, it's time to sing now. Burst into song. Why? The Lord's comforted his people and will have compassion on them in their suffering. Look at their response. Yet Jerusalem says, he's forgotten us. The Lord has deserted us. God's people are saying, the Lord has deserted us. He's forgotten us. This is getting personal for God. Never. That's a strong never. Can a mother forget her nursing child? That's a rhetorical no. Can she feel no love for the child that she has born? Well, let's just use a bad mom as an example. But even if that were possible, God is saying, I would not forget you. See, we hear that God will save and rescue and forgive anyone who trusts in a Savior, but we don't listen. We don't take it to heart. We really don't even believe it. We conclude that God must have abandoned us. Don't you see what's going on down here, God? It's kind of like he just wound up the world and then left us alone, right? Wrong. Not possible. He strongly says, never, I will not forget you. I went to state track this week. I thought I had prepared myself for suffering. And one of my scampers, we stayed in a town that didn't have a grocery store. Did you guys even know that town existed? It wasn't like Fairview. This was a town. Okay, I'm getting off track. But anyways, I went to their Casey's because this is the only place you could go to get water and food. And I'm standing in line, and I hear a mom talking to her little five-year-old, and she goes, no, you can't eat that. It has red 40 in it. And puts it back. And like, to me, like, this is mind-blowing to me because this little kid's growing up scared to eat food because this mom listened to something, and who cares if it's got... You listen to things that are less important than the Word of God, and you believe them. I just offended some of you. I know. But the point is not this or that food. The point is that we won't listen to what is most important, and you give yourself to lesser things, and you buy into them. And the next diet and the next thing is your answer. Rant over. That just happened like 2 days ago. Okay. I survived state track. I'm going to try to cover verse 52. We got to keep going. Here we go. 50 also is what I mean. Chapter 50, verse 2. Why was no one there when I came? Why didn't anyone answer when I called? This is God talking. Is it because I have no power to rescue? No, that's not the reason. I could speak to the sea and make it dry up. I can turn rivers into deserts covered with dying fish. Isaiah 50, God is saying, I am not limited in my power to save. I know it's hard for you to believe my words. It's hard for you to see what I'm doing. It's hard for you to see how a humble servant can save the world and then be worshipped by countless millions after he was despised and rejected. That's the gospel. Jesus is going to speak these next verses directly. Verse 4 through 9. Listen to this. This is so good. The sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom so that I will know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. The sovereign Lord has spoken to me and I have listened. I have not rebelled or turned away. This is not Isaiah. I have offered my back to those who beat me. Do you see Christ in that? My cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mockery and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do his will, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who gives me justice is near. Who will dare bring any charges against me now? Where are my accusers? Let them appear. See, the sovereign Lord is on my side. Who will declare me guilty? All my enemies will be destroyed, like old clothes that have been eaten by moths. Verse 5, I have not rebelled or turned away. I have listened. Can any of us say that? No. I know you want to believe that about yourself, but that's not the real you. Offered my back to those who beat me and offered my cheeks. They pulled out my beard. We are eventually going to get into chapters 52 and 53 in Isaiah, where it's as if Isaiah is sitting at the foot of the cross, watching the crucifixion, and he had written this 700 years before it happened. What you need to know is no one is saved apart from Christ. No one. He's not going to be put to shame. Verse 8, if God is for me, who can be against me? Who's going to bring a charge against you? Who's going to threaten you if God is for you? That is quoted directly in Romans 8, hundreds of years later, to give the believer absolute confidence that Christ has the power to save you. So here's my question for you today. Just from Isaiah, he's the servant. He's going to offer his back, his cheeks. He's going to be despised and rejected. Here's my question. Is Jesus not precious to you? I mean, let's have an honest heart examination. Is Jesus precious to you? Or is he just a religious character in a book? At just the right time, Jesus is going to come, the servant of the Lord, and he is going to suffer. He would be spit on. He would be rejected. He would be mocked. He would be whipped. Truthfully, he would be punched in the face while he was blindfolded. The Gospels say that. This is what we did to him. His beard would be ripped out. His flesh ripped off his back as though he was unrecognizable as a human. And he did that to take the punishment for my sin. It's personal. And he was nailed to a stick of wood to hang in humiliation where he would struggle to breathe until he died. This is the servant of the Lord. And then they plunge a spear into his side as blood and water poured out to make sure he was dead. That is the only way to save sinners. A perfect substitute in my place. Isaiah spoke of him. He came, and now we're looking back at the Savior who came. Is Jesus not precious to you? Nobody in all of history is saved apart from the work of Christ. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the gospel, that you didn't leave us here. You never abandoned us. We could not save ourselves, nor do we even know where to find you. And yet you come down from heaven. Offer your servant Jesus to rescue us. We ask that his name would be made great among us, that we would worship him with our hearts, not just with our mouths, and that we would truly fall more in love with you as our Lord and our Redeemer. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.